Today's gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to St. John, and we'll be in chapter 16. This is, if you want to get a mental picture of what's going on in this scripture, it would be the Last Supper. John has the Last Supper scene for chapter 13 through chapter 17 is all the Last Supper. So hear these words beginning in 16 verse 21. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she need no longer remember the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. On that day, you will ask nothing of me. Very truly, I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made complete. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but will tell you plainly of the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name. I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and I am going to the Father. His disciples said, Yes, now you are speaking plainly, not in a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need to have anyone question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have said these things to you so that in me you may have your peace. In the world you will face persecution or troubles or struggles or tribulation, depending on the translation. But take courage, I have conquered the world. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, we know about trouble. We know about struggle. And so do you. We ask that you would struggle with us. That you would enter into trouble with us. And through it, Lord, we might come to love you and know you. Through it, O Lord, we might find faith and courage and hope and love, for these are the greatest of things. We pray this in the name of the Christ who was crucified but is risen. Amen. In this world you will have trouble. Fear not, I conquered the world. These are Jesus' last words to his disciples at the Last Supper. He's already broken bread with them, passed the bread around. He's already washed their feet. He's told them they're going to abandon him, deny him, betray him. He's urged them, abide in me, abide in me. And then this, John 16:33. This is the last thing his disciples will hear as a gathered group together before the crucifixion. In this world you will have trouble. Fear not, I conquered the world. Karl Marx once famously called religion the opiate of the masses. An opiate. That is, Karl Marx thought that religion was only there to dull the pain of life. And Marx was kind of right in a way. Bourgeois religion of the upper and middle class can oftentimes become little more than like feel-good-isms. Something that assuages our guilt, gives us pie-in-the-sky promises. Go to Barnes & Noble. Next time you're in a place that has Barnes & Noble, go there. And look at the bestseller list on the Christian bookstore. And what you will find is 20 books on how Christianity can fix all your problems and you can have an inner peace. In contrast, Jesus today, he offers no opium. No dulling of life's pain. In this world you will have trouble. And then he goes on. When a woman is in labor, She has pain because her hour has come, Jesus says. You know, he's kind of pontificating on labor and childbirth only the way a man can. Yeah. And he says, but when the child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish. I've talked to a few women. They seem to remember the anguish. But the point is valid. Joy. The joy of having brought new life into the world. No opium. Sober is truth. Trouble, struggle. But also, listen. Joy. Courage. Hope. Faith. Love. And so it makes me wonder, can things like real joy and courage and hope and faith and love, can they come to life inside of us, inside each one of you? Can these things, can God birth this unshakable, unbreakable faith inside us without pain, without trouble or sacrifice or struggle? What do you think? How many of you want joy, courage, faith, love? Yes. Yes, yes. The life of Jesus teaches us that God births nothing enduring, that God births nothing good in the world without trouble, without struggle, that birth requires a little bit of pain. In Jesus, the Father is birthing through the power of the Holy Spirit a new creation. Scripture says that Jesus is the firstborn of a new creation, and look at what it took to have the firstborn of a new creation, a cry of dereliction. It took nails and a cross and a crown of thorns. Jesus tells Nicodemus that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven lest they be born again. You see, the joy of new birth happens only in the midst of struggle. Because in struggle, when life pushes us hard, the Holy Spirit is birthing something deep inside of us, forming our character. In trouble, all that character is maturing inside of us. In this world, you will have trouble. Fear not. I've overcome the world. I meditated on that scripture a lot this year. It's kind of become a breath prayer for me every time I start to feel overwhelmed. It started when I was visiting. Mike Slaughter invited me up to Hinton, and he was doing a conference for the young pastors in North Georgia, and he invited me to come and speak with them. And in that conference, Mike said, you know, my first 2 years in ministry, I took a church of 100 people, and I grew it to 50. And this is our expert, right? And he said that he gave us these leadership programs and a formula. And he said, now, is there any questions? And this, I thought this was such a telling question. I haven't forgot it. He said, this preacher said, so you've had to fight really hard to do this wonderful ministry that you've done there for over 30 years. He said, how long did it take before you quit fighting? How long did it take before you quit fighting so hard? And I'll never forget Mike's response. He just looked dumbfounded, and he said, quit fighting. What do you mean? He said, I pastored this church for 37 years. He said, you never quit fighting. He said, last month, 80 people left the congregation because they were mad at something I did. He said, you never quit fighting. In this world, you will have trouble. Fear not. I have overcome the world. I ask you, friends, where did we get this idea? How did it get imprinted into our psyche that one day we should quit struggling so much? That one day we would quit fighting? That if I just get my church in order, if I just get my life in order, if I just get my husband in order, my wife, if I get that person in order, I won't have to keep fighting so much. Where did we get that idea? I cannot tell you how many people that I have counseled over the last 11 years that have come in and they're stressed out and they're burnt out and they're give out because they think that life is hard and they expected at this point in their life things should be a little bit easier. Where did we get the idea that things shouldn't be this hard? Ever watch a TV commercial? All of them sell a product. But the commercial is never about the product. Notice this. The commercial is never about the product that it's trying to sell, especially beer commercials and car commercials. Right? What does a Lincoln Town Car have to do with Matthew McConaughey, nice suits, and a leisurely drive to a gala event? Well, nothing. It's a Lincoln, right? But what they're selling you is not a car. They're selling you the idea of luxury, affluence, leisure, calm. Notice McConaughey's cool voice. All right, all right, all right. A beer commercial. How many times were you out drinking beer and it turned into a beach volleyball game with six-pack abs and women in bikinis? Never happens in real life, does it? Happens all the time in beer commercials. That's because they're not selling beer. What they're selling you is leisure, adventure, sex. Why? Because Budweiser knows that you won't buy cheap, watered-down beer. But you might buy a shot at adventure and sex. Where did we get the idea that life shouldn't be hard? We have been told it since we were old enough to covet. Think about how much stress, think about how many fights and fractures in your family occurs because we think that marriage and child rearing shouldn't be this hard. We've been taught to desire leisure, ease, affluence, and mobility. And so we work our fingers to the bone. We stress our hearts into cardiac arrest. We stretch our marriages and our lives to a breaking point so we can fill our homes and we can fill our storage units. Sorry, Dan. With poorly made stuff. Poorly made stuff that we don't need. Designed to fix problems we didn't have. Heck, we didn't even know we wanted that stuff until a salesman told us that that stuff would make our life easier. But it didn't make our life easier, did it? It made our life expensive and crowded, crowded with stuff. You know why we call stuff stuff, don't you? Because we stuff it into our house. We go all out for a vacation, stressed out, so we can pretend like we make more money than we do. We wind up in retirement, beat up and wore out. And you know what we discover in retirement? I say we. I'm a retirement expert, by the way, because the average age of a United Methodist is 65 years old. And I've been hanging out with you guys for 11 years. The average age of a Methodist is, I'm a retirement expert at this point. What I've discovered about retirement is you show up beat up, thinking life would get easier, and it's still hard. It's still really hard. We live in a culture that teaches us to desire ease and affluence and leisure, which means it's difficult for us to hear Jesus' words about trouble and struggle. Don't get me wrong, we know about struggle. We're just struggling under the illusion that we shouldn't struggle so much, as if that's a good thing. Think of all the good qualities and skills that you possess right now. If you've developed patience through a lifetime of marriage, it wasn't those moments when you were sitting back on the back porch, sipping on some wine with a cool breeze that developed that, was it? No. You developed that through hard times. Think about the skills you've developed maybe in parenting or something. You didn't develop those good parenting skills at times when the kids were all dressed up, their face was clean, and they were smiling for the camera. Now, you got those good parenting skills when the kids were running around the house like demons, wearing their pants on their heads and wouldn't listen to anything you said. Every skill that you have, it came from learning and stretching and failing and striving. And yet we're told that we shouldn't struggle. To end struggle is to stop living. At the last church I served, I talked with a widow of this saintly man. He just died of MS before I got there. Terrible disease, even worse death. And she told me how angry she was at God and how she told God about that anger. And she told her husband when he was alive about that anger. And she said, one day I was having a real pity party. And I said to my husband, why would God do this to us? And she said her husband looked at her and said, why not? I can handle it. Maybe somebody else couldn't handle it, but I can. The way that man lived with sickness, the way he died with dignity and courage, it inspired that whole community. So I come to you today as your pastor offering what I hope you'll receive as good news, that in this world you will have struggle. Fear not. I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus says. No opium, no promises of leisure and affluence. In fact, the promise is the exact opposite. Trouble, hardship, struggle. But through the struggle, through the pain, new birth. Through the struggle, courage, hope, faith, love, joy. These are the things that are born of struggle. These are the eternal things. This is Veterans Day weekend, so extend me some grace. In the military, we had a saying. It's not on any recruiting posters. It's kind of vulgar. And we said, embrace the suck. Embrace the suck. It was our way of telling the truth, the whole truth, that life is hard. What we are being asked to do is hard. It's difficult. Sometimes it sucks. But if we know that it's hard and we know that it's difficult and we don't expect it to get any easier, we can get through anything. We can find joy in the most dire of circumstances. I have a Facebook page that I was just invited to. It's my old platoon from Delta Company, and they posted a bunch of pictures on the 10th of November. That's the Marine Corps birthday, and it was us in Iraq. And it looked like a bunch of clowns. It was the funniest thing, but the worst circumstances, 120-degree war zone, Fallujah. We were having the time of our life, it looked like. That's what I learned there. Getting up early, PT in the mud, jumping out of vehicles, helicopters and planes, embrace the suck. Going to wars and deserts, living at Camp Lejeune, little sleep, no sleep, embrace the suck. We knew that it was hard, but we knew that it was stupid, but we knew that if we could just grab hold of it with both hands and not let go and not expect things to get better, that we could find joy and we would grow stronger together. That's what it's about. Learning that when you expect and when you embrace life's hardship in fellowship with one another, you can not just get through things, you can find joy even in the hardest of times. My cousin right now is a doctor in the Army serving in Georgia. His mentor is the first female honor graduate of West Point. She is the first female to oversee and assemble a hospital in both an Afghanistan war zone and a plague-riddled Africa during the Ebola crisis. She's one of these people that's just like white hot, got it all together. But you ask her what the hardest thing she's ever done is, and without flinching, she'll tell you every time, raising children and staying married. Harder than graduating West Point honor grad. Harder than setting up a war zone hospital. Harder than being in Africa in the Ebola project. So I say that to say each one of you in here, you're going through hard times. You're doing difficult things. Times are uncertain at best and frightening at worst. I know that. And I know I come up here every week and I challenge you with a sermon. And I know that I can just add to the load that you're carrying. So this week, let me alleviate some of that load for you. It won't get any easier. It won't get any easier. Like last week, something probably happened to each one of you that was really hard. Okay? Something happened to almost everyone last week that was really hard. You see, what happened matters only slightly. What matters greatly, though, is what you will do next. It doesn't matter that you have fallen. What matters is that one of your brothers or sisters will come by and they'll lift you up again and again and again. And what matters is that you'll get up again and again and again. Life has a way of stirring us up. You see that? Life has a way of stirring us up. And that stirring motion, it can produce in you amazing, enduring qualities. Or That same stirring motion, it can cripple you. It can make you arrogant, turn you cynical, make you bitter. St. Augustine once said that when you stir a cesspool, a pool of filth, or when you stir a bottle of perfume, the motion's the same, but the smell is very different. The difference being what's on the inside. What's on the inside of each and every one of you baptized Christians is Christ. Christ is in you. Jesus says that God wants to birth new things in each one of us. Nothing is birthed in this world without pain and struggle. And so today, my word to you is simple. Keep struggling, church. Keep struggling with Christ. Keep struggling together. I can already see God birthing new and great things in here. Faith that can move mountains. Love spreading all over this community. I watch you face the hardest of times with great courage. Keep struggling. In light of last week's church shooting at a small rural church kind of like this one, I've been wrestling all week with what to say. Today I say, don't lose hope. The prophet Zechariah calls God's people prisoners of hope. That's us. Prisoners of hope. It's as if we do not have permission to despair. Can we mourn? Yes. God, yes, we can mourn. I encourage mourning. But let us not despair because we are prisoners of hope. You see, our hope is not that we'll get it all together one day and life will be easy. No, that is the lie of the salesman. Our hope is not that we'll strike it rich and no, our hope as Christians is that God became flesh in a Jew named Jesus, and that Jesus struggled against religious powers and political powers, and he struggled against mob powers and spiritual powers, that Jesus struggled against the powers of ignorance and sin and hate. And when all those powers came together and they did their worst, they tossed him on a cross, and the Father vindicated his executed Son, not with retributive power, but with resurrection power. Our hope is that death couldn't handle him and the grave couldn't hold him. Amen. Our hope is in God's love. Our hope is that God's love is so high that you can't rise above it. Our hope that God's love is so deep that when you're at your lowest, you can't crawl underneath it. That God's love is so wide that you can't get around it. You see, our hope as Christians is that as we walk with Jesus, who promises to never leave us or forsake us, that as we struggle with Jesus, life won't get easier. No, but we'll become a different sort of people. We won't become safe, we'll become brave. We won't gain certainty, we'll receive unshakable, unflinching faith. We won't fix all the problems in the world, but we'll show love in ways that surprises even us. And then men with guns and streets with drugs and all the fears and terrors that bombard us on a daily basis, they can't touch us. Because once you become brave, it can't be taken away from you. Once love grabs a hold of you, hate can't undo its grip. No opium for the masses today. No sweet Jesus. Just Jesus. Crucified, risen, and coming again. And Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. Fear not. I overcame the world. Amen.